The Fed is about to embark on a major policy mistake. As Congress is set to raise the debt ceiling, the bond market is still pricing in a default. And Evergrande, yep, back in the news. All that and more on today's show. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today. Well, we don't just talk about the news. We talk about how the news impacts you. And the story today is the non-farm payroll report and how this can potentially lead to a massive policy mistake by the Federal Reserve. Now, we've heard the Fed talk about tapering their balance sheet. And what does that mean? It means reducing the pace of their purchases. And the key to this decision was today's non-farm payroll report. At least that's what we were led to believe by Fed Chair Powell at the last FOMC presser. But is he actually going to do it? Well, we won't know until November, but there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that might suggest they may have to punt, but I'll let you decide and see what you think. Let's go through the data and see how the Fed is really going to make a big mistake if they actually go through with this taper. So the start of the story is this non-farm payroll report. And I was trying to put you in the mind of those who are on unemployment looking to get a job. And what did the Fed think was going to happen? What they expected as benefits ran out, a flood of people to go out there and get jobs. And it made sense because there's a ton of job openings, but it didn't quite happen that way. Let's go through the story. We'll start out with the job opening labor turnover survey, which you probably heard in the news and us talk about how there's nearly 11 million job openings. So imagine this, you're on unemployment, you're getting your benefits, and you're hearing about all these jobs. In fact, not only that, but the news is telling you there are more jobs open now than there are people that could fill them. So that tells you that, hey, there could be a lot of upward wage pressure. And does that mean there's a lot of motivation to go out and to try to get a job? Probably not. But that's not what the Fed expected. The Fed expected people to rush out and grab these. But now let's go over to Bloomberg, because here we see the continuation of that story where a record share of small businesses in the U.S. report job vacancies. So again, you know, this is what's going out in the news, and they're saying 51% of small firms had open positions in September, which is amazing because small businesses are massive employers and there's tons of them everywhere. And here you can see 51% of firms had opening last month, up 1 percentage point from August. So they had 50% of firms had openings in August, and the largest share in monthly data back to 1986, according to the data. A record 42% of small business owners, get this, said they raised compensation. And so this is huge. They also said a record 30% of them are planning to raise pay in the next 3 months. But here's the catch. Companies continue to struggle to find workers with the necessary skills. Of the firms hiring or trying to hire, here's the big one, 92% indicated there were few or no qualified applicants for open positions. 8 in 10 construction firms reported no qualified applicants. So again, we look at the story and we start to understand that there's all these jobs and there's plenty of people to fill them. So is there a big motivation for people to come off of their unemployment benefits and take a job that they know the wage is actually going to be lower? The answer is no. But part of the problem is it's not like the movies where you go and pick up the sign at the door that says help wanted and walk in and literally 20 seconds later, you've got a job and you're on the payroll. It takes months for this to happen. In fact, when a business makes a decision to hire, it's usually 3 months in advance before they're actually ready to go. So just because someone is hired on today doesn't mean they're actually going to show up on the payroll report until they get their first paycheck. That could be several weeks, potentially a month. It just depends on the process. So there's a lag here. So now let's talk about how we kind of already knew that this payroll report was going to be a dud, even though the Fed, well, they didn't quite think so. So we'll go to the unemployment data and what initial claims come in this week. They finally fell. They were starting to trend back up and they're down to 326,000. Now, just so you know, 200,000 is pretty much normal in a healthy economy. So we're 50% above normal and sticking at 50% above normal. But the key here is the pandemic claims continued to go down. They dropped, 854,000. There's still about, you know, 1.3 million on them that will drop off here soon. But what did we see? Most of these claims fell off the last couple of weeks. And did employers hire? Well, this is where you go to the survey data. And what did the survey data tell us? Well, in the manufacturing sector, you'll see here the survey for August was 49, which a 50 means unchanged. So they really didn't hire anybody more in August. And you look at September at 50.2, says pretty much our hiring pattern is unchanged. And then you go to the services sector, because that's where the hiring's supposed to be. That's what everyone expects. And what do you see as employment? In August, it was 53.7, meaning for services firms hired a bit more than they did under a normal condition. And in September, it came in as 53. So just showed very mild hiring. Wasn't big numbers here. So now let's get to the non-farm payroll report that came out this morning. And we get a big dud of 194,000. Last month, revised higher to 366,000. Or that may be the actual last month's number, but it was revised slightly higher. And so you get a dud of 194. Now let's see if all this data matches up. Well, what do we see? In manufacturing payrolls, the survey said they didn't really hire. Well, 31,000 last month, 26,000 this month. Well, that makes sense. How about the private payrolls? This is going to show up the services sector. Well, they hired 332,000 last month, 317,000 this month. So again, it just said they hired at slightly above the same pace. So the numbers are pretty consistent. But look at the government payrolls. Went from 34,000 to minus 123. Now let's qualify this number a bit, because some people believe that this was an anticipation of the government shutdown. That is not the case at all. The people will not lose their jobs that work for the government if there's a shutdown until a shutdown actually happens. No one says, well, it's possible a month or so from now, you know, we'll get a shutdown, so let's start laying off now. That is not the case at all. And so here we go and look at the non-farm payroll report on a chart. And does this look like an expanding economy? Well, it doesn't. And in fact, if we zoom back and cut out the pandemic here, you can see that coming out of a recession, what you tend to see is an arc. And well, we're not arcing right now at all. We're starting to trend lower. And so then that leads us to the question is, where were all these jobs coming from? And remember, there's, you know, 8 million people, or about 7 million people, dropped off pandemic claims over the last 2 weeks. And what did we see? Hiring, leisure, and hospitality, where most of the jobs were lost. That would show up in the black row here. Professional and business services, retail trade, transportation and warehousing, which will be great to help alleviate some of the supply chain. But look at down here, government minus 123,000, a big drop. But people are saying, well, that's okay because wages were up. And well, they were. In fact, average hourly earnings in September were up 0.6%. And year over year, they were up 4.6%. So the good news is, at least for those who had jobs, they were making more money, probably mostly through overtime. And we saw that some of the firms were going to increase wages. So here you see average hourly earnings rising. And everyone says, well, that's really inflationary. So I put the CPI index over this for you to see. And well, something quite doesn't add up. So I inverted it. And what's notable is that when wages go up, consumer prices go down. Again, they're shown inverted here, and when wages go down, consumer prices go up. That seemed pretty bizarre, but there it is. You can see that yourself. Now let's go back here to the data, because you can see the weekly hours went up from 34.6 to 34.8 hours. So we do know that those who did work made a bit more money, and that's good. But what about the bad part? Is a participation rate. Now, keep in mind, we're setting up this whole story about how the Fed is about to make a mistake, but I really need you to understand how they're going to end up making this mistake. So let's look at this participation rate, and it fell to 61.6 from 61.7 last month. Now, what is the participation rate? If you're wondering, it's the percentage of the able workforce. So if you're you're within the right age to be counted as a worker, they measure the percentage of people that are either working or are out looking for a job. And those two together become your labor force participation rate. In a sense, who's participating in the labor market. So you'll see a little less than 40% of the people are. Now, how does that match up historically? Well, you can see it's pretty weak. In fact, it's extremely weak. And what I want you to take away from this chart is that in a rising economy where wages would be going up, you'll see more and more people are attracted to the labor market because they can go to work and make perhaps the wage they want to make. And as you get into a recession, what you see is it starts to peak and roll over, starts to peak, roll over, starts to peak, head lower. And then we probably in here, what you see is many of the baby boomers starting to retire, but you see it rolls up, peak and roll over, and now it's stalling out. But there's a second bit to the story that makes it more interesting because when you take the monetary base, now let me explain the monetary base. This is what the Fed's balance sheet is. The Fed's balance sheet's made up of a lot of things, but when it does quantitative easing, it really accelerates the growth of what's called the monetary base or its balance sheet through putting these reserves, through treasury securities and mortgage-backed securities showing up on its balance sheet. When you invert it, it tells you how financial conditions are tightening and where the labor market is likely to go. And really, and remember, I want you to keep in mind, the Fed thinks we're at liftoff here in reflation and that all these 7 to 8 million people are going to be back at work in the next couple of months. But I want you to see this, and here you can see very clearly when you invert the monetary base and how well it lines up with the labor force participation rate, that the probabilities that people are going to be leaving the workforce or quit looking for a job despite record openings, well, it suggests based on this relationship, that's pretty high. Then we go to the Wall Street Journal, and what do they have to say about the Fed tapering? Well, the jobs report keeps the Fed taper on track for November, and I love this, by emphasizing accumulated hiring progress rather than month-by-month patterns, officials set a low bar to clear. So you get this impression that the Fed is desperate, really desperate to taper its balance sheet. And when you see that labor force participation rate chart, you get a taste of why, but we're going to add to that here in a moment. But check this out. Despite Friday's disappointing September report, Federal Reserve officials have signaled in recent weeks the gains are likely to satisfy the thresholds they've laid out. So mediocrity at best will get you a balance sheet taper, and that is expected to come at the next meeting. Now, keep this in mind. Here's the big part I want you to understand, and then we're going to go into why this is a huge mistake. The Fed's meeting in November is on the 2nd and 3rd, 3rd being a Wednesday. So we'll get a press conference on a Wednesday. On Friday, that Friday, we get the non-farm payroll report for October, which is more likely to show some of these people going back to work as they lose their unemployment benefits. On Thursday evening, the president, in this case Biden, which in the past, whoever was president, the night before, they get the report. Now, you might remember when former President Trump was in the office, when he first started, he would tweet the report, you know, essentially like, wow, blockbuster report. And I was like, you can't do that. And that's how you know that the president gets the report the night before. So the Fed on that Wednesday is going to make a decision with data they don't have because it's not released, at least to the president, until the next day. And then, of course, we'll get it on Friday. So there's a lot of questions about how the Fed is going to be making a major mistake, because when you start tapering the balance sheet, now immediately it's not going to see a major effect, but we're hearing that over a 6-month window, they want to cut the purchases back. And the normal reaction, when you understand how QE works, it causes interest rates to rise when they reverse the process. So they're just going to slow it at first. But are they going to inadvertently tighten financial conditions by mistake? Well, let me show you how this plays out if they get it wrong. And then you're going to see why the banks are massively buying treasury securities right now. So check this out. So here you see the monetary base in blue, which is rising as the Fed does more QE. Now, the contrary to popular belief, people suggest that when the Fed does QE, it causes the dollar to weaken. Well, there's no historic evidence to validate that. In fact, you see here's QE1, dollar's going up. Here's QE2, dollar goes down, then goes up. QE3, dollar goes up. And QE now, that we just see the dollar down here. But the risk the Fed has is the dollar going higher. And why is that a risk? Well, it's really simple, because a higher dollar means financial conditions are tightening. So let's take a look at what that means for the bond market. So here we take the dollar and we invert 30-year treasury yields. So here, when you see the dollar rising and you see yields rising together, you'll notice we had a massive recession, deflation. We saw a bit of deflation here, and we saw a bit more of it build in here. We certainly saw it during the pandemic. So what is the risk when the dollar goes higher and yields continue to go lower because the Fed can't quit doing QE because they're not getting the numbers they want? Is you go from a stagflationary environment to a deflationary environment, and then the wheels just fly off the bus and the whole thing bursts apart. And that might be a good reason the banks are buying bonds. And this is why we look at the H.8, and I want to show you this because this makes a lot of sense. We look and see that bank credit rose, but look here, mortgage-backed securities rose about $4 billion, but look at treasuries, $38 billion week ending September 29th. Now, whoa, what does that mean? Well, let's head over to the 30-year yields. Right here, wherever you see everybody shorting, the banks bought $38 billion of treasuries right in here. A huge number they took on. Huge. So you want to know who's buying treasuries? Well, it's the banks. Now let's go back and see. Here you can see treasury and agency securities, non-mortgage backed at all commercial banks versus the market yield on treasury securities. And you say, well, I don't quite see that, Steve. Well, how about we invert the bank's balance sheet of U.S. treasuries? And you can see as the banks accumulate treasuries, that puts downward pressure on yields. And so it's very clear when we look at this, where the banks want this to go. They are believing the Fed is making a mistake. Now, historically, when the Fed embarks on a tapering process, people start buying bonds. We're seeing bonds sell off now, probably because the banks are saying, fine, go ahead and sell. We're going to buy these up because we know if the Fed pulls the trigger and tapers, they're going to come back bigger and better than before with more QE and drop rates even lower. And if they don't, their rates are going to roll over and head lower. And that is really the mistake you see the Fed about to make, is will they taper? I'll let you decide. Now, if you're looking for a long equity strategy with a unique hedge, be sure to check out my Portfolio Shield strategy, link in the description below, or portfolioshield.net. Let's continue on the story here. And we see mortgage market here. What do we see? The number of applications are starting to fall. Now, why does this matter? Well, I wanted to share this with you, as I shared on the Real Vision Live earlier this week. If you look at around March of 2020, a lot of refis were done around 1.2% on the 30-year. And then January 2021 and August 21, when rates were at 1.85 on the 30-year, there was a massive amount of refis. So you think about these people and their demand for mortgages above that level, not going to do it. How about purchase applications? Well, a bulk of those were ran all the way from the lows in March up to 2.5%. So people buying new mortgages aren't going to refi. So if you look at what speculators are doing by trying to drive rates higher, there's a reason the banks are buying here. Why are they driving rates higher? Because they think there's a demand for rates at a higher level, and they're trying to front run that trend. What we're going to find out is there isn't demand because people already refied. Banks need rates to go lower at a time where the Fed's going to taper, so they're stepping up their purchases just in case. But in the end, they know the Fed's going to make a mistake, because if they taper, there goes the labor market. In fact, now we can see that the debt ceiling kink shifts in December as bonds now price for a December 15th drop dead date. And what do we do here? Let's go to Twitter to Jim Bianco, Bianco Research. And he says, McConnell and Schumer are backslapping for striking a deal. The T-bill market is moving today. He said they're pricing in a December default. Now, well, this is important because I want to add to that Powell story. Do you think your congressman or woman wants the Fed to taper? They don't. So maybe they keep this battle royale going through the November FOMC press conference. So you didn't think of it that they might do it that way. So check this out. Anyways, you see here, he says that this pricing in a default in December, so people still don't believe this job can get done. And this is key. He says, principal is not paid when we are technical default and money funds are required to value T-bills that don't repay at zero. This is a disaster for them as it could break the buck. So sell bills at risk of non-payment. That is moved to December. And this is, again, something I've suggested is actually going on. People say, why are interest rates going up? Why are they selling the long bond? Because they're trying to raise cash in anticipation that potentially the bills they're holding going to be worth nothing, at least temporarily. Of course, we'll close out with our friends over at Evergrande. Bonds dropped as jumbo creditors yet to be paid. And here we head over to Bloomberg. China's Evergrande Group's dollar bonds fell off after people familiar with the matter said some creditors have yet to receive payment of a note they say is guaranteed by the developer. Well, so much for that. Their bond due on 2022 lost 8 cents. Their prices are crashing. Non-payment of the bonds principal might constitute a default as the note has no grace period, although 5 business days would be allowed if the failure to pay were due to an administrative or technical error. Yeah, maybe we just forgot to cut the check. The bond was issued at an initial amount, $260 million by Jumbo Fortune Enterprises. And here you can see Evergrande's dollar bonds on track for their lowest close as the market begins to price in that they are actually not money good. So with that, we will, of course, be back on Sunday for the Sunday chart show, and then Monday for those of you who are not into the chart show, but we'll see you back then. In the meantime, I want you to be thinking about where payrolls are going, because keep in mind, Powell's not going to have the data for his November 3rd meeting. So will Congress drag things out? Maybe they will. We'll see. I'll see you Monday. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only. It is not intended advice, investment, or advice. This material is not to be considered as recognition, solicitation, buyer, selling, security, financial instrument, or participating in any particular trading strategies. This video is prepared by Steve Van Meter, personal capacity. Business expressed in this video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors, Inc., or Steve Van Meter Financial.